I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas once every 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh, everybody, we're so sorry about how long it has taken us for us to... We didn't mean to skip episodes. We just literally completely ran out of any other time in our lives.
Any spare millisecond. We tried recording it millisecond at a time, when we had the gaps, but we found that it really threw off our normally quite good rhythm with the opening song. It was very difficult to get into the groove, so we gave up on that idea.
We thought doing that plus doing it over Zoom seemed like it was going to completely destroy the music. Anyway, thank you to everybody for listening to this podcast. Thank you to anyone who's come to My Client is Innocent at the Comedy Festival, which is still going for another roughly 11 nights. Andy is almost dead from doing it. And also anybody who is considered coming to Hong Kong Hubba Hubba Ring a Ding Ding, my show with Matthew Stewart from Do Go On.
Oh, what a treat that would be for them. You had your opening night last night, Alistair, and I'm hearing a lot of buzz.
And it's a deep, dark, and dank venue.
Yeah, it's 3D.
Really, like, you go underground. Yeah, that's right. You get the smell as well. And thick air. So think about it. Think about it if you like things. It's worth at least thinking about it.
I am upset that there's no real visible stink lines in life, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it would be a nice thing if they, implemented those.
When are we going to roll out the stink line feature?
Yeah, who controls the rules of reality? There should be, because I mean, that would be also a great thing, is that if you could, rather than release a product that, you know, that is like, oh, okay, and if you wear this, then, you know, it emits it takes like a laser and a bit of fog or whatever like that, and you put it on your shoulders and it makes stink lines. You know, that's okay. Obviously, if you wanted to just, you know, implement your own stink lines, everybody, you know, obviously you can make a change on the personal level, but really you want structural change, and you want somebody who can change reality.
You're exactly right. These are two different approaches to capitalism or to running. You know, running a society, obviously, there is the individual responsibility model where we expect individuals to, you know, to lay out that money and to take that initiative to implement their own personal stink lines. But as a democratic socialist, I believe that it is the role of the government to put the structures in place so that stink lines are available to all. And yes, I agree that would involve some fundamental tinkering with the nature of reality on a sub physical level, you know, of some sort of meta implementation. And I think somebody should look into it. I would also love it if God came down, God appeared and said, and basically released some patches and some updates to the nature of reality, read them all out like the bug fixes and updates at the start of when you've updated your software. And
and he just came up and he said, this is version of reality 1.032569 or whatever.
But he'd give it a name like Apple does, and it would be called Torfang or something like that.
Corfang, yeah. Sloppy. Sloppy 2.
Yeah.
talking about slipping and slopping this morning. Oh my God. The amount of luck that happened here. I was in bed and our youngest was in bed with us, Hux. And but Hux was kind of awake instead of just kind of like, you know, touching our faces and things like that. But then we heard, and I was like, just lay down. Do you want to have a cuddle? Do you want to just lay down for a bit longer? Shh. Try to go back to sleep. Anyway, then we hear the garbage truck, which means, of course, we have to get up and go either to the door and look or to the window so that we can just watch it go by. And so I pick Hux up and I run around the bed and I slip. And I slip whilst carrying a kid and moving
at a
pace.
Now, are you on tiles or are you on...
I'm on our wooden floor, but I don't know what I slip... whether it's just my feet lose grip or whether I stepped on like clothes or a piece of paper or something like that. And all of those things are on the ground. So I want you to know that, you know, that is possible.
These are all live options.
Anyway, and so...
there are also several liquids.
And now I'm midair and I realize that, you know, I have no purchase on the ground anymore. I'm horizontal. Not horizontal, I'm diagonal.
Yeah, and you have the time to think about this, to process what's going on.
Yeah. And I'm going, oh no, I'm carrying a child and I'm about to fall. And then I land with my upper part of my body. Well, I land with him first onto the bed, pretty much almost entirely, except for maybe his legs. So lands on the mattress and then I fall. And then like some of the slats underneath break. So kind of, or either break or come out of the thing. I haven't actually looked yet. But they go crack, crack, like that. And then, but like, it was a big impact for the kid, but at least on the mattress. And he seems completely fine. But I was like, the miracle of falling in the right way.
Onto the mattress. And
Not onto the child. Like, actually sort of midair, I feel like I was maybe helping position a little bit, but... you know, with my arms, now, with the motion that
Alistair,
I did still have.
The audience is on tender hooks here. Did you get to see the garbage truck?
I think we missed that one. Oh, no, no. But, because Hux was crying for a bit, but then he recovered very quickly. But then there was another one that comes through, the recycling one. And we did see that one and did have a good time.
And now
Hux was wearing a fireman Sam helmet.
Now
the
audience is still on tenterhooks because there's still one big loose end. Did you get Huxley back to sleep?
No.
Oh, and that was always going to be a long shot.
Yeah, that was already a long shot while we were still in bed. And then to have to sort of fly through the air, that's a sort of a rush that you know, one does not go straight to sleep from. And if you do go to sleep straight after having a big fall, it usually means you've had a concussion.
Some major bleeding in the brain. But I mean, sleeping like a baby who's just had a fall. I'm sorry.
It's okay. No. It's good. I like picturing really awful things.
This is a horror podcast.
Thank you, Indiana. Sorry, Indiana just brought
no,
me.
No, that's all right. Let's put down a sketch idea number one. Okay, and that is
that's already down.
Updates to stink lines. Right. Okay, stink lines.
Well, I've got stink lines debate. Whose responsibility is it to implement
really good.
Them? So you could picture it's like
Bernie
almost town
Sanders
hall meetings.
Is there. It's...
Yeah. And, you know, and I just don't think that it's a job of the individual to... People, good working people, shouldn't have to, at their own expense, pay for gas and lasers to make their own stink lines.
Really fun. I love this sketch. But then I also think updates to reality announced by God, I would pitch as a separate sketch idea. I would.
Updates.
God
to reality.
Announces the bug fixes. Because it's interesting to look around at reality and be like, what would be the bugs? We believe that everything is just a feature of reality, but we don't know. Absolutely anything that we take for granted on a daily basis could be. A bug. You know, the idea that all the four fundamental forces aren't unified and diverged very early on in the universe. That sounds like the sort of thing that would happen with a bad compile of a new program. Mm. And it might actually be that there is only supposed to be one force. Glabatrev, it's called. And
the single force, Glabatrev.
And, you know, then everybody's just got to adjust to what would seem to them to be total chaos. And, you know, God could have a bunch of other things. Maybe he wants to change the human body. Maybe he wants to put one big eye in the middle of the chest or something like that. And it is like when Apple or Android, someone like that, changes something and suddenly that little box, that little icon, the drop-down menu to resize the screen or whatever has disappeared, and now you've got to go into a different thing. You've got to click on three dots somewhere and then go into a settings menu, you know, and everyone's complaining about it. I mean, imagine the tweets. Imagine the tweets if God came down, gave us all one big eye in the middle of our chest, and then everybody's be like, what was God thinking?
Oh, imagine if what they did with one of the updates was that instead of being able to like have thoughts like in the way like, you know, like picture things kind of over the top of your vision and stuff like that. Like, you know, you kind of have it almost like in a ghostly perception kind of somewhere. It's not entirely over your vision, but you can kind of see it inside your head, but it still kind of feels like it's in your eyes a little bit.
Thoughts. Yeah, we're talking about thoughts here.
Thoughts. Yep. Yeah, talking about thoughts, like if you're like picturing a mansion, you kind of see it. It's like your vision retracts into your mind for a second, but you never lose entire vision, you know? But so imagine if the new update, it comes up and then suddenly you have to like minimize reality before you can see something. And so then it's like, okay, and then you got to like, maybe you got to like close your eyes and then you can see the mansion and you're like, oh, there's where
it doesn't
live
seem
one
like
day.
That good. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a real update. It feels like a step backwards. How about this? God comes down and says, okay, I never meant for your thoughts, like when you visualize things, for them to be in your head. Now, whenever you visualize something, a physical version of that thing is going to come out of your butt.
Well, the butt does feel like it's the underused 3D printer.
Exactly.
It's a 3D printer right now that can only print sort of
just
really terrible things.
Exactly.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if it produced stuff that you wanted?
And maybe it's supposed to do that. It's just been badly calibrated. So it's like when your printer is just producing like a smudge. Okay. Oh, God comes down, does a little bit of tinkering in the butthole. There you go.
Do you think
gives
he goes into every
on
single
ass,
one? He has to
slap on the ass, sends you on your way. And now...
You don't think he can just fix it in the back end? You think sorry, that was not supposed to be that, Andy. That was not intentional.
I find that very difficult to believe, Alistair.
I was actually trying to talk about behind reality. Mm. You know how I like
Well,
to
that
talk
is what I refer
reality.
To my butt as.
Yeah.
Whatever happens there,
I only
I
think
actually
of
don't
everything in front of me is.
Yeah, that's in the past. Oh, that would be good, though, if our butts were in the past, and then if we pooped, it just went to yesterday, you know, and then we wouldn't have to worry about it.
That's true.
Yeah.
But then does that mean that somebody in the past could be grabbing your butt?
Maybe. But it also means that in today, we have to deal with all of tomorrow's poops. But... But it's this.
You go. But then you also find that you find out stuff about the future.
Oh, so you can
by the consistency of people's poops.
Oh, and then you really do have this kind of way of dividing and telling the future. So your poops from the future appear in your house, right? And then you can take them along to a psychic who will sort of.
And you have to flush them because the butt the butt can only do the poops. But you can. But it's only the people in the present who can flush them because your hands aren't in the past.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I thought they'd just be doing them around your house, just at random location. They're just appearing.
Sure.
Out of
I
the
guess.
Air
I guess if you were being good to yourself, you would go sit down. You would go sit down on your toilet.
Yeah,
still.
But I think this is the sort of thing where it's like it's that tragedy of the commons. It's that no one's going to take responsibility because you have to deal with the poops of the people in the future. So you feel like, well, then why should I also have to look after the people in the past? They should have to go through what I went through, you know? So you'd be pooping all over the place.
I know, but if it's you, you're dealing with it yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just you from a day ago, like, right? Assuming that everything that's in the physical remains in the same physical location.
But what it,
right? Obviously, the earth has moved.
What it would be, yeah, well, there's teleportation built in. But what it would be is, well, that's all very well. That's if you're pooping in your own house, you'd go to the toilet. But if you're pooping anywhere else, nobody knows that that's what you're doing because they can't see it come.
Well, they can see your butt moving.
No, they can't. No, I mean, well, if you're good at it, it'd be like, you know, if you're good at it, you'll be able to do it without giving it away. You know, without a single look, you'll be in the middle of a conversation, right? And nobody will be able to tell that you're pooping in the past. And then for the people in the past, these poops just appear at random locations from people who've been there, you know, and or will be there in the future. So, I mean, what you could do is a poop could appear, and then you could see that poop appear, and then you could go and hide somewhere for like 48 hours, peering out from behind a bush, and then see who's there. And then maybe you could jump out and grab them, right? And
yeah,
I don't know.
That's good. Yeah. Well, then now suddenly we got ourselves a detective story.
Yeah, well, it's like Minority Report.
Yeah. you said you got that poop. God, how did we do another fucking episode that's just mostly based on shit? But I mean, you can see how in one way it solves the problem of you don't have to deal with this poop that you've just taken right now. But you can see how it creates the new problem of how you have to deal with all these future. You have to deal with all tomorrow's anonymous shit.
Well, but this is what it's like with any new technology, right? You introduce a new technology, and the convenience of it outweighs the multitude of negative consequences. It's exactly the same with Facebook.
Yeah. That's right. And like we always say as the engineers, an engineer doesn't fix one problem without creating two or three more problems.
Exactly right. And also with people in the present making the future worse through climate change, maybe this is just a kind of payback, you know?
But I also do love like that idea, like you see some fucking horrible diarrhea and you think, what's going to happen? Like, imagine you're walking around and suddenly there's just really terrible shits everywhere. And you're like, something is going to happen today.
Yeah.
Like,
and
why?
Then it looks like 12 monkeys kind of situation.
Yeah. And like, you go, well, maybe I'm not going to eat today because I need to figure out something is making everybody sick. Right. And then you think that maybe you could stop it from happening in some way. But, you know,
can you change the future?
Can you be better? Can you outsmart determinism? Mm.
And then you're running around. You're so stressed trying to fix this. You have an attack of stress-induced diarrhea. And the loop is closed.
Oh, no. Mm.
Doesn't explain why everyone else got it.
Well, I guess it could just be like gastro or something like that. It's probably from all the unhealthy shits that are being put everywhere. I mean, the bacteria or the virus or whatever.
It wouldn't help. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I love a really dumb thing, and that was up there.
A really dumb and horrible.
And horrible. But you know what's crazy is that I see that story and I think there's a movie in it.
And I agree with you. I agree.
Yeah.
A little bit about my context right now. I am recording in the car because
Which car? The big one or the little one?
The electricians are here. They are doing all sorts of drilling and stuff around the house, putting things in. So I thought I'd better come to the car. But so I've got my computer here plugged in an extension lead, but they've also turned off the power, so my computer is running out of batteries. But that's okay. I have batteries in my recording device, and I've got 1.5 bars of power there, so that I'll probably be okay. Headphones are also running out of batteries, but that's okay because I have plugged them into my computer. So while there's only a little bit of batteries left in my computer, that should be enough to power my headphones so that I can continue making the phone call long enough to finish the recording on my recording device before the batteries run out there.
And so I'm glad that we're not wasting any time whatsoever and just really powering through.
But, you know, there's a chance that the electricians will finish their work before my computer runs out of batteries, plug that in. But then that doesn't solve the problem of the running out of batteries in the recording device. Also, the dog is running around and is barking a lot. Hasn't so far barked close to the car enough for it to appear in the recording, but that could still happen. So, you know, there's a, yeah, that's the general mix of potential. That's the soup. That's the gumbo of disaster that I am swimming through.
I know you, and then you're like even going through it like a second time, just like to make sure that you don't have time to get any sketches out. I love that.
Well, I feel like we've already got 3 sketches out, Alistair. Maybe even 4.
We do. We do have 3.
Three. Well, that's pretty good.
Hey, if there was it like, let's say there were no utensils, which utensil do you think you would have invented? And would it have been like one of the main ones? Like, let's say there's no utensils, all right? Let's say, okay, let's say you've got a plate, you've got a pot, something that's kind of like a pot. It's just like a big rock that you've managed to scratch out a kind of concave, you know, semi-circle.
So that's my bowl.
And then you've managed to heat it up with fire. Mm. But then, and you sort of cook just like rice and grain and water, and then you've put in some leaves and, you know, some root vegetables in there or something.
Yep.
Okay. So now it's real hot, and you are a big piggy, and you want to eat it straight away, but you don't want to burn your hands.
Yeah.
You now look around for something that you can pick it up with.
Well, the chopsticks feels like a place that you might go. But at the same time, chopsticks are actually one of the hardest. They're maybe the easiest utensil to come up with, but then the hardest to master. I'd probably maybe find a forked stick. And so I probably would be the fork, you know, that I would be stabbing into.
So like a stick that's just got like two things prongs that go out like that.
Yeah.
You'd use 2 prongs and use that to pick up rice and kind of wet rice and grain and things like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. That's not sounding great. What about a leaf? I could maybe scoop with a leaf. Maybe I'm coming up with a kind of a spoon-like leaf situation.
You know what? This is something that I think should have been used is that because have you ever seen those scrapers that bakers use?
No.
In the big bowls? They're like handheld scrapers. So it's like a kind of like a slightly flexible sort of semicircle. It looks kind of like a protractor. But a little bit more flexible, and you can use it on big bowls to scrape all the dough out and things like that.
Yep.
Get on the table like that. A flat surface like that, you know. Think about that. Now you're kind of scooping things. You're using the natural scooping, motion of the hand, but it's protected. And I think a leaf like that
would
have been a very natural way to encounter this.
Could be.
And I'm surprised that there is no. There is no utensil that uses the palm of the hand as the sort of the bowl of the spoon.
Well, what I would like really is a kind of a glove, like a dining glove. You know, it could look fancy and that sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
But you know, and it could even have little metal bits, sort of, you know, thimbles on the end of the fingers or something, so that
like a little blade at the end of the index finger, so that you could cut through things, make them smaller.
Sure. Yeah. But you know, the hand.
Maybe,
yeah. It's just so. It's you know. It's a big part of eating, and I'd love to be able to eat with my hands, but with some sort of little additional component, which suddenly kicks it up into being extremely classy. So you're eating with your hands like a fucking beast, But then,
yeah.
you know, you've got little gold, little things.
Just remember, there's a lot of cultures that do eat with their hands. And also, there's no beasts that have hands. Oh, except for, like, you know, like there's some primates and stuff like that. I guess you're thinking like a sort of like, you know, like Beauty and the Beast, you know? It's like he was once a human.
That's right.
And but I, for some reason, when you say a dining
I tell club, you what, there's nothing right. like being deep in midriff and being that whiplash of being told that what you're saying is deeply xenophobic. Just like that full body stop, like crashing into the brick wall. Oh. 100 kilometers.
Oh, I know. I'm
your,
so sorry.
Your train of thought is traveling at, you know, 100 kilometers per hour, barreling along down a nice straight stretch, and then somebody's lashed a big log to the lines. And it just all goes to shit.
I want you to know that this is how I picture your dining glove. I see it as one of like, well, they're a bit like one of Michael Jackson's white rhinestone gloves.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Yeah. But instead of rhinestones, you know, like that, I mean, okay, there's just, you know, one finger has like a little knife, little blade so that you can press it on things and cut them in half and things like that. Maybe one on each index finger. You think you'd wear two gloves for this, right?
It absolutely is the index finger because, and then the middle finger and the thumb have got kind of like prongs on them. So what you can do is you can stab something there with those two prongs, and then you can slice in between with the index finger, and then you pick it up. That index finger moves out of the way, and you're just nibbling between those two fingers. It looks That's quite right. dainty.
And I do like the idea of being able to prong things with your thumb and then just eating them off your thumb. Mm. Like you kind of look a little bit like you're
like a little baby
sucking on his thumb, but you're just, you know, but you're kind of eating some, like, you know, some filet mignon.
Oh yeah,
or you know, or what, you know, the vegetarian version, which would be like eggplant mignon, eggplant slice mignon. Do they say a fillet of eggplant?
Nobody has ever said that before. No, but they should.
Okay.
Was that on the podcast where we were talking about? No, it was off pod. It was a conversation we were having off pod.
Yeah,
about
where
we're
talking about about roasting is basically is just torturing.
Foods,
torturing vegetables and stuff like that until they give up their sugars.
Yeah, their deliciousness. And you know, and you get a food like eggplant that's very hard to break, right? And it's like, I don't have anything. I've got a horrible texture and I taste bad. Do what you want, right? It's got a very high pain threshold.
And then while you're roasting, you're going, come on, you son of a bitch, break, break. And I'll never give up.
Yeah.
I'm going to be bitter to the end.
And then.
And they give up their
whole
structure.
Breaks. That's the thing. Everybody breaks. And even the eggplant.
Everybody breaks eventually.
Crumbles.
Everybody breaks. Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, all right, I was delicious. In fact, I was actually one of the most delicious things you could eat the whole time. You got me.
Yes.
It's a fair cop.
Well, do you think that's who the eggplant is truly on the inside?
One of the most delicious things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just playing hard to eat.
Did we say that the other day?
Hard to eat.
Yeah, no, it was all you were just playing hard to eat.
No, that's my new addition.
Oh, I love that, Andy.
Thanks, Alistair.
You know what, Andy? You know why I said that? Because it felt like something I would say.
Ah.
And so then I was retrospectively trying to just claim it.
Did we say that the other day?
I was like gonna go like, oh God, I'm funny. This is what I think while I was listening to you say something funny.
Good. I'm happy with that, Alistair. Are we at five sketch ideas?
Oh my goodness, Andrew.
Can I just pitch this as well? After your story of dropping your kid, right? You know how
falling with my kid, Andy. It's very different.
Sure. But you know how, like, you sometimes have these sort of nightmare scenarios that play through your head of like something like that. Oh, what if I did this? What if I did that? What if I reversed into my kid with the car? That kind of thing. And those could really plague you, those fears, right? They're actually very really traumatic. But there should be a place where you can go and do that stuff and it's safe.
Like sort of like one of those places where you can throw an axe or whatever.
Exactly, like, you know, exactly right. Yes. So they you go there, they wrap your kid up in a whole lot of stuff, they give you a very specially designed car, and then you can reverse into your kid. Just to
it should just be like, you know, a mannequin, but you can go there and you can you know, and you can drink and you can drive.
Oh no. Oh,
and you can back. Oh my God, Andy, that's one of the worst of them. But
yeah,
but at the same time, you know, that's what makes it so good.
Don't write it down. Don't write it down.
I'm not gonna write it down. Okay. Hang on. I'm just trying because I'm just getting a three words from a listener. Do you remember about those?
Yeah. Listeners, I recall them.
Listeners. Yeah,
words,
so
I've heard of this. Well, three. I mean, I've learned about one and two, and I think I can put the pieces together.
Which piece?
The one and the two. I put them together, and I get
put
a three.
One and two together.
Yeah,
and they make three. Is that the only the only series of numbers where that works?
Where you can put together the two previous numbers to get the next number? Yes, that is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's really good.
Thanks.
Because I now have three words from a listener, and I'm glad that that wrapped up so that I can finally get to our listener, Martin Hanel.
Martin. Thank you, Martin.
Now, Martin Hanel, look, and I'm guessing, look at this, H-A umlau. Do you put the umlau before or after when you, umlau A? You say umlau A or A umlau?
I don't think you pronounce the umlau.
I know, but I'm trying to like spell it to you. Let's say it's a spelling bee.
Yeah.
Do you have to spell with the umlau?
I don't know.
Spelling.
I'm going to umlau it.
Okay.
So I want to see where this is going.
H A umlau H N E L. How would you say that? It's like ha, but with an umlau. So it would be, it's either
Hanel.
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 Or.
Oh. I think it might
be. Hanel or Hanel. I don't know. I don't know what the A umlau pronounces.
I don't know, but given how much shit you were giving me before about wasting time, this is an enjoyable.
All right. Well, okay, I only wrote down Martin's thing. Okay, you got three words, Andy. Do you want to try and guess what they are?
The first word is Robespierre.
Incorrect.
Okay. Jeez.
I wanted to say incorrect even before you said your word. So what was your word?
Robespierre.
What's that?
He's one of the major guys in the French Revolution. One of the big leaders of the
Was that
Revolution
a word movement. Or was that a bunch
it's
of words?
It's his name, Robespierre. Robespierre. Right. He was eventually guillotined himself for crimes against the revolution.
He guillotined himself?
No, he was guillotined himself. He didn't guillotine himself.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, no, it is cool.
To picture someone trying to do that, trying to like get the thing to work.
A little auto.
And he does. You can't quite pull it up high enough, and then it sort of lands on your neck, but it just kind of like hits it with the blunt with the blunt force. And you're like, oh. Now suddenly you're injured. Now you're trying to lift this heavy blade with your with a crook neck.
I wonder if there were any people in the revolution who would force someone to lift their own guillotine, you know, like do the cranking of their own blade.
Yeah.
That's some real, you know, sick shit.
That's some, yeah. Okay. So, okay. Sorry. The first word is not Robespierre.
Okay.
It's Andy.
Okay. Andy guesses correctly. Those are the words.
Incorrect.
Damn. What's the second word?
The second word is can't.
Andy can't guess. Andy can't guess. It's this kind of thing. It's just some dumb thing like that. So, so stupid.
How dare you say that?
Oh, sorry.
How dare you say that?
Is that right? Is it Andy can't
guess? No, it's not. Oh. It's not guess. You can guess. Of course you can guess. But what can't you do, Andy? It's Andy can't win. You can't win.
All right. No, I can't win. I can't win.
So, Andy can't win.
That's very funny. You're fucking with us. Well, you're fucking with me specifically. That's very much, that's part of
the opposite
the,
to me.
You know, the one of the treasured principles of this bit of the show is the big the big with it fuckery.
Okay, so Andy can't win.
Can't win. Well, can't. You know, I'm thinking about some kind of race, some kind of, you know, race.
Yeah, I was
meet.
Picturing a race.
Yeah.
Right? It's a race. I picture like the 100-meter sprint, right? But you have been... Like you're at the race, okay, and everybody's getting ready at the starting blocks. Mm. But you have been put into a metal tube with a bottom at the bottom, and then you're kind of sealed in, and then they poured metal in there so that you're completely trapped. It's like it was liquid metal that's hardened.
Yeah, so I'm dead as well, right?
No, 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 no. Your head is out.
I think I'm still probably dead.
No, no, no. Your head is out. Like the liquid metal was a metal that wasn't like liquid at burning temperatures. It was just, it was pretty warm. Mm-hmm. And then now it's pretty hard.
Yeah. Okay. I probably can't breathe. Like I probably can't breathe. So I'm probably still dead.
You can breathe a little bit because what you had done is you had thought about that and you'd expanded your lungs as much as you could.
Okay, great.
Like Jeez. That while they poured it so that.
I really love my presence of mind here. That's great.
Yeah, and so you'd pulled off. That was a bit of a, you know, who's that guy? That Houdini move.
Yeah, sure.
Of course, if you'd been a bit more Houdini, maybe you could have got yourself out of this situation
before it arose. Yeah. Oh well.
Okay. So now you're essentially just laying down at the starting blocks, and then everybody else is there, but you're sort of on your spot, and you need to win this. You need to win this or else your family gets it.
Oh, no.
Right, so this
I'm
is
amazed.
Really crucial.
I'm amazed that the Olympic Committee has allowed this to take place.
It's not the Olympics, Andy. This is the Commonwealth Games.
Oh, well, then that explains
They wouldn't allow that kind of thing at the Olympics.
Yeah. So what do I do? Is that what you're saying? What's my...
Yeah, so now
well,
you've got to
I
try.
Mean,
and...
the only... the oh, I use the only tool that I have at my disposal. I use my silver tongue.
Oh, you don't think rolling?
Well, I don't think that I don't think I'm going to be able to, like, what part of my body can I move to get up any kind of momentum? My head. So I could be whipping my neck around, right? Trying to generate.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and like that.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, even then, even if I get some motion going, there's no way I'm going to be able to accelerate at the same rate as these Commonwealth Games, you know, level athletes. And so I think I'm then looking at, just...
So your
just
silver tongue.
My silver tongue.
I'm going to beg. I thought you were going to sort of offer them...
some of my silver tongue.
Yeah.
Look at this tongue. It's made of silver.
Made of silver. We could split it. Mm. And of course, if somebody wins, though, the problem with that, if somebody even comes second, they're already going to get an equivalent amount of silver.
Yeah.
In a medal.
Well, that was what I was thinking of as my sketch idea was, what about a race where you want to come second, right?
Yeah.
So you got to go really fast to get up to the finish line, and then basically you wait there at the finish line just before until somebody else comes near you, grab them, chuck them over the line, and leap over after them. So it's a real game of strategy then. This
Wait, say it again. You get what?
You want to come second, right?
Yeah.
So you run, you've got to be really quick so that you can get up to close to the finish line, right? Even you want to be in the lead till you're right at the finish line. Then you see someone else, the next person comes up, you grab them, chuck them over the line, wrestle them over the line, and then they come first, but you then are able to go across and become second.
Yeah, that's going to be hard as well, especially if it's a really close race.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So is this because like the price of gold has just plummeted?
That's really funny. Gold has become plummeted. Like worse than worthless, but silver is incredibly valuable. But the Olympic committee is refusing to change the podium stuff. It's a big part of their tradition. And so now everybody is desperate to come in second place.
Yeah, it's like some idea, like, I don't know, like gold and somehow gets cancelled.
Yeah.
You know, it turns out that gold is, you know, has been a, I don't know, I don't want to say pedophile, but like, you know, gold has done some bad shit. Turns out that gold is, even maybe gold is really bad for you or something like that.
Sure.
Turns out like gold is worse than asbestos or something like that.
Mm.
And all this stuff, but maybe mentally it's like it fucks up your brain. Turns out that like all that thing where people were like, well, absolute power corrupts absolutely, it turns out it was just exposure to gold.
Yeah.
And and so then people don't want to win it, but you know, the Commonwealth Games are not keeping up with the times. They're not going to like just get rid of gold just because of some, you know, scientific
they've
paper.
Now got all this gold, I presume, that they bought to make all the medals, and now they're trying to get rid of it as well, you know?
Mm. Yeah, so then they try to give you a gold for your second position, and you go, no!
Yeah.
I was promised silver!
Anyway, I think this is a sketch idea, Alistair.
All right. And that's why Andy can't win, because Andy can't get this gold and then loses mine.
Pedophile gold. I'm happy with that, Alistair.
Yeah, all right.
I wonder what they make those the ribbons out of that the medals are hung from. You reckon nylon?
Silk. Nylon.
Be nice if it was silk. It probably is silk.
Made out of silk worms.
Ah, just clinging together.
Imagine that. It's a shirt that can make silk.
It's a shirt that's made entirely out of silkworms.
Yeah.
Glued together. Oh.
Well, you know, you genetically engineer a bunch of silkworms to be conjoined in the shape of a shirt.
Or you genetically engineer just one big silkworm.
No.
One big...
Like a vest, like a big vest one that you can wear like silkworm. A vest.
Yeah.
And you carry it around and its butt is over your butt.
Its butt,
I think it would be warm to have a big kind of caterpillar
bug
thing that you could wear.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I wonder. Would you think birds would go after you? I guess they wouldn't be interested in caterpillary worm things if they're sort of wombat sized.
I think they would be. I think they'd be interested in swooping down and taking a peck.
I think one of the big things that they love about insects is that they're the size that they can put in their mouth.
Yeah, they do like that.
I don't think they would look at it
people
like
love
a,
bite
they would
size,
look at
size.
A giant like a caterpillar the size of a horse and think, ah, caterpillars, those things that I eat.
Yeah. Alistair, just in the interest of wrapping this up before I completely run out of batteries, would you like to take us through these sketch ideas?
We got the stink lines debate. Whose responsibility is it to implement them?
Yeah, it feels like a version of an idea we've come up with before, but I still enjoy
it.
Particularly that Bernie.
I'm not sure. I don't remember that. But updates to reality by God. This is God releases an update. Your butt is in a day in the past. Oh, sorry. your butt is a day in the past, so you don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But now you have to deal with all the future shit. Dining glove / scraper spoon. I feel like that's, you know, the two things. There's kind of two ideas there. I think there's something that could be done, but I think a dining glove is pretty cool. Imagine that, dining glove that just has a pocket in the palm that you can just scoop up like, you know, if you wanted to, a whole handful of soup and you could just sip at it while someone's talking to you, you know, so you don't have to keep bringing your head down towards the bowl.
Or you squeeze it and it squirts out, you know, sauce, tomato sauce, onto what you're eating.
Ah, yes. Well, I suppose you could have condiments. You have like, you kind of wear it like one of those camel packs, like, you know. Like
I like the idea about God changing things in reality and about us complaining to him, like going to him. He thinks that these are all big improvements. He's been working on this new version of reality for ages and he's really proud of it. And then we have to go to him and complain. And he's like, and well, you'll just get used to it. But it's they're demonstrably bad ideas.
Then we've got roasting is vegetable torture. Give up your sugars. He was just playing hard to eat. And then we've got trying to win silver because gold is bad now, you know?
Yep. It's very good.
Yeah, we got there, Andy. So, pew up, do, do, pew up, do, do, pew up.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to In Think Tank. We love that you do that thing to it and us and of and is. And if you could, you know, get a ticket to the old My Client is Innocent and Honk Honk Hubba Hubba Ring a Ding Ding, a show that I am hearing great things about with Alistair Tremblay-Birchall and Matt Stewart, and on Mondays, Angus Gordon.
Thank you so much.
Funny people.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, everybody. I hope your lives continue to go good, and I hope you are well. And sorry about the disorganization with all these podcasts, but thank you very much for listening and sticking by. And
we
love you.
You.
Bye.
Toodles.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.